know what, church? We are in need of some people who can do sound and lights at our church, because those who are doing it now, you guys are done. For those of you who are like, what in the world is going on right now? They're having fun at my expense right now. Gives me a good way to segue, though. For those of you who missed it, we had a concert here, a worship concert on Wednesday night. We had Sidewalk Prophets in the house, and it was a packed place. And in the middle of the show, they do this impromptu song. And they asked for different things from those who were gathered, and he picked on me and wanted me to name an animal, so I named a rhinoceros. And they then, unbeknownst to me, said, well, now you have to give us the sound a rhinoceros makes. After the show, so I gave my best what I thought, right? And that's what you just heard. And so one lady came up to me and goes, Pastor Jeff, I was pretty impressed. I didn't know, what does a rhinoceros sound like? I said, you know now, right? That's what it sounds like, and I'm sticking to it, right? So, yeah, you got to be able to laugh at ourselves, right? Yeah, I got to laugh at ourselves. Very funny, ha ha. Well, how do I segue out of this? How about this? If you're a guest, welcome this morning. We're glad that you're here. Welcome to North Webster Church. My name's Jeff, and the lead pastor. If you would text the word guest to that number that's on the screen, we would love to get to know you. I promise you we will not hit your inbox with audio files of me making the sounds of a rhinoceros. But we would love to get to know you, and if you're looking for a home church, I'm kind of biased. I think this is a great place to land. There's a wonderful people here at North Webster Church of God. Matter of fact, we love it not just here, but we love our community. And so on April 8th, Saturday, we are having our third annual Easter egg hunt at Camp Crosley YMCA. Camp Crosley is great to partner with us, and we usually have over 1,500 plus people that come out there from all over the county and other counties that will join us. We are in need of some help, though, and so if you can lay eggs on the ground, and or you can greet people with a friendly hi, or pass out candy or donuts or hot chocolate, we would love for you to be a part of this. We need volunteers. We realize it's spring break, and I know a lot of you travel, and that's cool, but not everybody will be, and so this is a great opportunity to love on our community. And so if you could help in any way or would be willing to volunteer, would you please just call the church office or contact one of our children's ministry people, and they can find a place where you could serve. And then lastly, one other thing I want to mention to you, bring to your attention. Out in the lobbies, you'll see these bags. Some of you are like, are we doing Be Rich again? We should be rich all the time, right? We're not doing the campaign, but we are using these same bags, and we are asking you to collect canned goods again. Our food banks are in desperate need. Their shelves are nearly bare, and they need help, and so we want to help. And so one of our life groups went to each food bank and said, hey, what do you need? They gave us what they need. Here's the list. It's easy. It's in each bag. All you have to do is go by the list, buy those things, grab them from home, put them in here, and bring this back by the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month, March 26th. We want to have these all gathered back here. And then that life group is going to deliver it to each of the food banks, distribute it evenly. So take one, take two, whatever you want to do. We'd love to get rid of all the bags and have them be brought back full so we can bless people in our community. You got a couple weeks to do this, so maybe when you leave today, grab one of these and get after it. I know on behalf of those who are hurting and hungry, they thank you ahead of time. Well, we're in a series starting today called Breakthrough, Making a Change for Good. It's a 7-week series. It'll take us through Easter and a couple weeks past. And I want you to know out of the gate, there's a couple things that we're doing in this series that you're going to see every Sunday. You're going to find a time, and there's going to be the same QR code. So if you have your phones right now, if you got a smartphone, go ahead and get that QR code. Go ahead and take a shot of that. And guys, could you put it up? Yep, there you go. On the big screen too. Because every Sunday, we're going to give you a refrain and a replace. Some people will think this is kind of like what some people do at Lent. We're not calling it that. But here's the thing. We're going to ask you to refrain, to stop or cease this week. So starting tomorrow, remove the noise. So like AirPods, headphones, car stereo, TV, anything that can cause distraction for you, we're asking you to take some time this week to remove that from your life. But not just to stop and cease that from taking place, but to replace those things with what? 5 minutes at least. daily of silence. And in that silence, here's what I want you to do. Just focus on the bigness of God. Just focus on how big your God is. So that's the start right there. Refrain, replace. You're going to see that every week. You'll get one of these. You can scan it. It'll remind you through the whole week of what to do. We'll have something different each week. Sometimes it'll fit exactly with the message. Sometimes it'll be just something to help you focus that week a little bit more on who God is in your life. So why don't you pray with me, and I'm going to focus a little deeper, and let's start the message together. God, we know you're already here. We've gathered in your name. But now, God, as we dive into your word, I ask that your Holy Spirit would move freely about this place, nudging heads and hearts to surrender ourselves to you and what you would have for us in this moment. God, there are some who come here needing a breakthrough today. I pray they won't leave before they experience it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, maybe today you walked in here and you're at a dead end, a crossroads of sorts, or maybe you're on a path that feels uncertain, doesn't seem it's going as where you thought it might, and you find yourself saying, I don't know what to do. You ever said that to yourself? Like, have you ever had a situation or a moment where you're like, I just don't know what to do? Not knowing what to do, it sometimes can be very overwhelming. Maybe you're a high school senior, you're approaching graduation, you're thinking to yourself, I have to pick a career at which I'll be happy for the next 50 plus years of my life. I don't know what to do. Maybe you've established yourself in your company. You've put down roots in your community and with your family, but your job, it's just not as fulfilling as it once was, and so you put your feelers out there, and you got job offers, and there's a new job offer, but it's going to require you to uproot your family and move, and you're thinking, should I do that, or is there something better just around the bend? If I just wait and hold on a little longer, I just don't know what to do. Or maybe you're sitting here today, and you're still in my marriage. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for us. It's not healthy for my kids. I don't want to feel like I'm always walking on eggshells around my spouse or that I'm sleeping with the enemy. Something has to give, but I just don't know what to do. Or maybe it hurts so bad because you see your child spiraling downward and nothing you've said or done as a parent seems to help. You'd give anything to prevent the pain, the depression that they're feeling and experiencing, and yet more often than not, you find yourself repeating that same refrain, I don't know what to do. Or maybe for you, it's just life in itself is overwhelming, and all you know is, I don't know what to do. You know what's worse than that? Is you don't know what to do about not knowing what to do. And if you've ever gotten to that juncture, you might be able to relate to this thought that I've had many times in my life. Whenever I become so overwhelmed that I'm scratching my head, I don't know what to do. I start then not knowing what to do about the things I did know what to do about before. Those things that I already made a decision on. Those things that I had resolved, or so I thought in my head and in my heart, and I felt certain about, but not so much anymore. I feel like I no longer know what's best. I don't even know what's right anymore. I just don't know what to do. My friend, if that's you today, I want you to know that you're in good company today. And I want you to know that maybe this is the right series for you because you need a breakthrough. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. What does it mean to experience breakthrough, a sudden, dramatic, or important advance? It means that there is something that changes the course of your life going forward. It ensures that things will never be the same for you again. Some of you need a breakthrough. You need to make a change for good. For good, not as opposed to make a change for bad or evil or toxicity or sin. Yeah, to make a change for the good, but also means this, to make a change for good. It means lasting, enduring. It means continual. Maybe today's your day. Maybe today is your day for breakthrough. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in some habits that you're holding on to. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in your thought life, the mental capacity of things that just seem off to you. Maybe it's in your relationships at home or in your work environment. Maybe it has to do with your faith. Is there anything in your life that you would like to see change and for good? I want you to know, as I've been knowing this series was coming for a while, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for our congregation. I've been praying for you for breakthrough. You know, the Bible has recorded powerful experiences in which men and women encountered God and experienced breakthrough in their lives. And what seems like impossibilities or improbabilities that you bring into this place, understand they are not insurmountable for God. With God, even things around you, when they look the most hopeless, God has breakthrough power. And so be encouraged today. Even if you're walking in, you say, but Pastor Jeff, I feel like I have this desperate faith. That's okay. If your faith is desperate, then believe with me that God is a God of breakthrough. He desires to do a new thing in and through you if you just yield yourself to Him. If you've come to this gathering and you've got stuff, and you've been saying with the stuff, I just don't know what to do, then come along for the journey. Join me, if you will, turn to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. While you turn there, allow me to set the scene. There are often times in life that God will use our failures to bring us to a place that we will completely depend upon Him. And as we look at 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, there is the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, who had just come out of battle, and it didn't go so well for him. Matter of fact, he barely made it out of alive. And so as we approach our text, King Jehoshaphat, or sometimes I'll refer to him just as King J if we can, to shorten it a little bit. He's facing three nations who have joined forces together to wage war against him and the nation of Judah. And so as we pick up our text now in verse 1, these three armies are marching together. They are 20 miles away from King J, and here's what we find. Later on, the armies of the kings of Moab, Ammon, and the Ammonites declared war on Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. Word reached Jehoshaphat that a vast army is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea from Syria. It is already at Hazazon Tamar, also called En-Gedi, which is about 20 miles away. Jehoshaphat was badly shaken by this news and determined to beg for help from the Lord. So he announced that all of the people of Judah should go without food for a time in penance and intercession before God. People from all across the nation came to Jerusalem to plead unitedly with him. Jehoshaphat, did you catch this? When he received this news, badly shaken. When's the last time you received some news that shook you? It caused you to be afraid. It overtook you with fear. How did you respond? I think it's interesting to note, y'all, when the news came that these armies were marching against, they're coming against you, King, and they're 20 miles away, he was badly shaken, but notice that his first response was to seek help from the Lord. Jehoshaphat was badly shaken by the news, now watch this, and determined to beg for help. And to whom did he beg help for? From the Lord. He didn't poll his advisors. He didn't seek a consultant. He doesn't turn first to a pastor or a priest or a professional counselor. He turned to the Lord. He pointed his panicking propensity toward prayer. Prayer was King J's first choice. It wasn't his last resort. And if we can be honest, for many of us, we like to act like prayer is the last thing that we can do when we find ourselves in a crisis moment, when we find ourselves in the midst of a battle and we're saying to ourselves, I just don't know what to do. Have you ever been there and somebody says, well, all we can do now is pray? And you want to say, wow, that bad, huh? It's really come to that? All we can do now is pray? Since when does prayer have to become the last resort instead of the first response? Hey, my friend, let me ask you something. When crisis comes, and it will, what is your typical go-to response? Are you always badly shaken? Do you panic? Do you hit the denial button and act like this isn't happening? This is just not happening. Do you try to cover it up so nobody else will know what you're going through? Because you wouldn't want to think less of you that you're struggling with these issues or this battle? Do you just put up with it? Do you just give up? Do you just shut up and clam up? The king of Judah begged for help from the Lord. And everything that we're going to read for the remainder of this story, it is hinging on this key fact we see in verse 3. Look at it again. This may seem like an act of desperate faith to you, but it was most certainly a decisive moment. See, it's not the crisis moment that's going to crush you, my friends. It's what you do or fail to do in the crisis moment that's going to crush you. It's those first moments, it's those first fleeting minutes when King Jehoshaphat received the news that he and his nation was about to be invaded. It says, yes, he was badly shaken and he grabbed his guns and he grabbed his artillery. That's not what it says. He didn't send forth his army immediately. After all, the other armies are just 20 miles away. And he had a good one, by the way. He had a large army at his disposal. No, it says he did something, didn't make any military sense. He stopped and he sought the Lord. And then he asked the rest of the nation to join with him. He called for a nationwide fast and asked all of his people to pray to the Lord for an intervention regarding these invading armies that were approaching their city. Probably not the military strategy that most leaders would have embraced in that moment, but that's exactly what King Jehoshaphat did. In this crisis moment, he prayed and he asked others to pray with him for God's breakthrough power. I wonder, my friends, when you're going through it and you're facing a battle and you're in the midst of a crisis moment, do you ask others to join you in prayer? I'm often shocked by this. That even people within our own congregation that will tell me something that they're going through, and I mean, I know that they need a lot of people praying for them. But Pastor, listen, I don't want anybody to know. What? Now, I get it. You got to be careful with who you let know, because let's just be honest. They're in this church or in every church. The busybodies, right, that want to talk and want to be in the know of everything. I get it. But my friend, listen to me. When you're going through a tough time, you need to find some close confidants who you know who care deeply about you that will get on their knees beside you in prayer for you. It's important. And that's exactly what King Jay did. He called all of the nation together and asked them to fast from food, to repent, and ask God for intervention. See, a lot of us, though, we don't do that. We don't invite others in, and there's power in group prayer. By the way, just so you know, King Jehoshaphat's prayer, it was not long, it was not complicated. Matter of fact, it is a short, simple prayer. Listen to it, verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood among them as they gathered at the new court of the temple, and he prayed this prayer. You get to hear his prayer. Listen to this. O Lord, our God of our fathers, the only God in all the heavens, the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth, you are so powerful, so mighty. Who can stand against you? Oh, our God, didn't you drive out the heathen who lived in this land when your people arrived? And didn't you give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple for you, truly believing that in a time like this, whenever we're faced with any calamity, such as war, disease, or famine, that we can stand here before this temple and before you, for you are here in this temple, and cry out to you to save us, and that you will hear us and rescue us. and now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You wouldn't let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so we went around and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you have given us. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We have no way to protect ourselves against this mighty army. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you. There is a powerful prayer pattern to pursue right here, y'all. I want you to notice what the king did first. He reminded himself just how big his God is. When you're going through a battle, you need to remind yourself just how big your God is. He says, man, this is the God who loves me. This is the God who wants what's best for me. This is the God who has been faithful to me. This is the God who will never leave me. And so this problem, this crisis, this battle that I'm getting ready to face, this is not too big for my God. Let me ask you something. Right now, what is your perspective? Do you have this big problem and this itsy bitsy tiny little God? Or do you have a big God so that all the problems in your life become minuscule and small? King Jehoshaphat prays, God, you're the only God in all the heavens. You, O God, are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful. You are mighty. Who can stand against you? My friend, today, remind yourself just how big your God is. Remember what God did in the past. God can also do in the present. Listen to what he says. Oh, our God, didn't you drive out the heathen who lived in the land where your people arrived? And didn't you give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple for you, truly believing that at a time like this, whenever we faced with calamity such as war, disease, or famine, we can stand here before this temple and before you. We can cry out to save us and you will rescue us. Here's what he's saying. Has God helped us people in our past? The answer is what? Yes. Can God not also help us in this present moment? The answer is yes. And yet even so, here's what he says. But we have no way to protect ourselves against this mighty army. We don't know what to do, God. When's the last time you admitted to yourself and to God, I don't got this? For all those English people out there, I know that's bad English, I get it. But when did you say, I don't got this? See, sometimes we like to pray those general prayers, and I'm not saying they're bad, but many times we say when we pray, God, I need your help today with, or God, Lord, I need your wisdom for. God, I need your help with, which would kind of lead you to believe that you still have something to offer here. But that's not a breakthrough prayer. You see, in your crisis situation, you got to admit, I don't got this. You don't just pray a normal prayer, God, I need your help with. No, you pray a breakthrough prayer like King Jehoshaphat did. God, I can't do this. We can't do this. We're powerless. We've got nothing. We need you to do this. I love how he compares and contrasts this. Do you remember what he did at the very beginning? He remembered how big his God is. God, you're all powerful. God, you're almighty. At the end of his prayer and says, God, there is no way we could do this against this army. We're powerless. We're hopeless. We don't know what to do. God, if you don't act, I'm done. God, if you don't act, we're over. It's hopeless. God, I've tried and tried and tried and tried. Lord, this is beyond my control. God, I can't fix this. God, I can't change this. I can't even manipulate this. And God, you know I've tried. I don't know what to do. Is that your prayer today? I don't got this. You've got to get this. And by the way, can I just say this? Don't get bothered about the externals of your prayer. I have people say, but Pastor Jeff, I don't even know how to pray. I just gave you a pattern. You don't have to worry about the form. You don't have to worry about the length. This is a short, simple prayer, by the way. Doesn't matter if your eyes are open or shut. Doesn't matter whether you're standing, sitting, or kneeling, or fall face to the ground. God cares about the internals of your prayer, not the externals. God cares about the internals. Do you come believing in faith that God will meet you where you're at? Do you come with sincerity and honesty in your heart? And if that is true, then man, ask God for a breakthrough today. Say to him, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. King Jay prayed that short, simple prayer. And the answer to his prayer wasn't long in the coming. With the people still gathered together, there came a short, simple answer. Look at it in verse 13. As the people from every part of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there, Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, the Levite, who is one of the sons of Asaph. Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, and you, O King Jehoshaphat, he exclaimed. The Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't be paralyzed by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And man, I just want you to take a moment and embrace that last phrase. For the battle is not yours, but God's. He says, so don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He went on then to give further instructions in verse 16. Tomorrow, go down and attack them. You will find them coming up the slopes of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not need to fight. Take your places. Stand quietly and see the incredible rescue operation God will perform for you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out there tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Can I just tell you from all honesty here? Whew, I know me and I know my personality. That's not easy instruction. Because I want to get in there and help do something. I got to do my part. Just God, tell me how I'm going to fight this battle. But did you hear what the word of the Lord came to Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah? Sometimes God says, no, Jeff Boyer, all I need you to do is take your position and stand with a quiet confidence. That's it. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is just showing up in the crisis moment. Just be willing to take your position and stand there. Quietly. Quietly. It means trusting and believing that God's got this. It means believing the Lord is with me and will fight for me. God, I'm not going to let this rattle me. Lord, I'm walking toward this with confidence because you're with me. I remember when I was first in youth ministry, we did an event. We got all our teenagers, went up to Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was pastoring at Huntington at the time, and we went paintballing, right? If you've ever, how many ever paintballed before? It's fun until you get hit. That hurts. But I had a couple counselors with me and a bunch of the teenagers, and we divided up, and it was down to the last few of us, and there was this little makeshift bunker of stacked logs in a V-shaped, and I'm hunkered down behind one of these, and I peek up, and I almost got hit in the face right away. I can peek through, and I see six teenagers from the opposing team, and I think at this time, I'm the only one left, and I'm like, oh, great. In my head, I can hear them talking. I know it's getting ready to happen. A couple of them are going to keep shooting. The rest are going to go behind and flank me from the backside, and I'm like, this is going to be painful. I'm going to be out here in a second. About that time, I feel the brush rustle beside me, and I look over, and here comes my senior pastor's son, Taos. And I'm looking like I couldn't be more happy to see him. He said, you're still in? He goes, I'm still in. What you have to know about Taos is he was on leave, and he was going for the SEALs in the Navy. This is a good guy to have in the bunker with you in this moment when you think you're done, right? I'm like, yes. I look at him and said, dude, they're gonna take us out any second. They're gonna start flanking. He goes, no, they're not. He looks at me and here's his words. You just stay put. I got this. Okay. I can do that. I'm not kidding. It was like watching a movie like Braveheart or Rambo, right? He jumps up out of that bunker, runs up about 10 yards, drops to the ground, goes boom, 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 boom. Ow, ow, ow. These kids are all yelling. He took all six of those kids out within seconds. He looks at me, I told you. I'm like, yeah, we won, right? We won. I didn't do anything, but we won. Listen to me. That's what God wants for you today. That's what God wants for you today. In the midst of the battle, sometimes he says, just stand here and be still and trust me that I got this for you. I'm with you, and I'm going to fight this battle. You're not going to have to fight at all, but just show me in faith that you'll obey me in this moment. If the battle's mine, y'all, I'm in trouble. If the battle's the Lord's, I can stand with this quiet confidence. Somebody needs to hear this today. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Go out there tomorrow, for the Lord's with you. And what happened next? Wow. Watch what happens next. I mean, this is 0 hour, right? They are almost to the battlefront. And worship has become their weapon of choice. You're like, what? What are you talking about? Look at this, verse 21. Then King Jehoshaphat fell to the ground with his face to the earth, and all the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the Kohath clan and the Korah clan stood to praise the Lord of Israel with songs of praise that rang out strong and clear. And early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And on the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and he called them to attention. He says, listen to me, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall have success. Believe his prophets and everything will be all right. And after consultation with the leaders of the people, he determined that there should be a choir leading the march, clothed in sanctified garments and singing the song, his loving kindness is forever, as they walked along praising and thanking God. Now, I don't know about you. When I read that, I scratch my head and go, wow, that's some military strategy and formation going down right now, right? Here comes the army of Judah marching to the battlefront toward the enemy with the choir out in front. What? Why not the warriors? Why not the infantry? Why not the archers? Why not the chariots? But the choir is leading the way? Wow, so much for any element of surprise. So much for any stealth mode ambush by the army of Judah. I mean, this doesn't make any military sense, let alone it doesn't make any common sense. It doesn't make any human sense, but it makes perfect God sense because it's his battle, not theirs. And what was taking place here is worship. And you know why? Because worship is a response of faith. Let me ask you something. Do you worship God amidst your battle? Are you still praising the Lord in your crisis moments? When you and I worship the Lord during the I just don't know what to do moments, it demonstrates your faith. It conveys that I believe not only that God can, but that God will fight for me. See, worshiping God along the way reveals my faith that I believe in advance God's got this. And so, God, I praise you. Lord, I worship you, and I thank you in advance for. See, listen, if I only thank God when he gives me something, that's not faith, that's gratitude, is it not? God, thank you for giving me this, so now I praise you. I give you gratitude. But when I thank God before he gives me something, that's faith. That's believing in something I have not yet seen or experienced. But I believe it's going to happen. And that's why they were praising and worshiping. Verse 22, and at the moment they began to sing into praise, notice what happened. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to begin fighting among themselves. They destroyed each other. For the Amorites and Moabites turned against their allies in Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. And when they'd finished that job, they turned against each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the watchtower that looks out over the wilderness, as far as they could look, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his people went out to plunder the bodies, and they came away loaded with money, garments, and jewels that they stripped from the corpses so much it took them 3 days to cart it all away. How did that all exactly happen? I don't know, but worship and praise was involved. But once the killing started, it was a bloodbath. Once the army of Judah arrived at that place overlooking that wilderness battlefield, they saw only dead bodies. Dead Moabites, Ammonites, and Menunites as far as the eyes could see. Not one of them from Judah's army had been harmed or injured. Not one from the enemy's army survived. And not one from the enemy's army was killed by a man from Judah. The Lord had fought the battle. And so they marched to that battle line, worshiping God, saying, singing, believing these words: give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. You see, my friends, when you begin to worship, you initiate God's breakthrough power. Not only did they experience victory that day, it took them 3 days to cart away all the spoils of the battle. And then we get to verse 26. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, as it's called today, and oh, how they praised the Lord. You know what that tells me? Worship's not an event. It's a way of life. Worship's not just something you do once a week. Worship isn't just something that's a religious routine or a rote response that's reserved only for Sunday morning worship gatherings like this. Worship is our faith in action. Worship is turning to and trusting in God. Worship is a confession. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And God responded to that worship with breakthrough power. I want you to catch this. Worship wasn't the preparation for the battlefield strategy. Worship was the battlefield strategy. Look at it again. As they began to sing in praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Do you need a breakthrough victory today? Do you need God's breakthrough power released into your life? Maybe you walk in here, you say, but Pastor Jim, I just don't know what to do about this. How about this? Worship him. In the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the battle, just start to worship God. Maybe that's what God's waiting. God's waiting on your worship. And your breakthrough power is right around the bend. He's waiting to release it. But he says, worship me today. Keep your eyes looking to me. Not at the crisis, not at the battle, but on me. And as you do that, I will be with you and I will fight for you. This morning, we're going to close with a song that I heard back in the summer that meant a lot to me. And this is back in the summers when this came, it birthed in me this idea for this series this time of year. It's called God of the Breakthrough. And today, if you need to experience that, I'm just going to ask you to move from where you're at to an altar of prayer. We got some people, we got some pastors, we got some elders, we got some lay leaders. I'm going to have them, if they've been asked, if they'll just come up here. And here's why they're here. They're just going to stand up here behind one of the altars. And if you approach them and look at them and say, would you help me pray? That's why they're here. If you don't want them to, you can just kneel down. You can kneel at the front right here. I won't bother you at all. This is just a chance for you to say, I just need some time with the Lord. But maybe today you're like, you're in a moment, you're in a battle, you're in a crisis, and you don't know what to do. You want to seek the Lord, but you're like, I don't even know how to do that. That's why these people are here. They will help you pray. They won't embarrass you. We're not going to call you out in front of everybody. We want to give you this moment right here, right now, to seek the Lord. Let's just stand with me. Let me pray. And even as we sing, understand this song is for you to respond to this, not just to stand there. You can worship, but if one way is to worship is come forward, then do that. God, in this moment, have freedom. God, in this moment, for that man, for that woman who's going through something, I don't even know what it is. They do and you do, but they need some breakthrough power. They're at a place where they say, I don't got this. I need you to get this, God. Would you meet them there? Would they step forward and say, I'm going to come pray and I'm going to come worship you in spite of the battle, in spite of the crisis. Help this to be a decisive moment today in their life, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. As they sing, you come.